Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Monday, January 5th, 2015, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here are tonight's top stories.
Tonight, a veteran ceremony is interrupted by police accountability protesters. Then, an Oklahoma senator proposes a ban on hoodies. And the DWI dude tells you what to do during your next traffic stop. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
And then when they wreck and kill themselves, the cops then go and SWAT team the bar owners that sold them too much whiskey.
The Dow plunged 331 points today, and stock markets around the world fell sharply. Now, the main culprit of the jittery market is falling oil prices. Crude oil is now trading at below $50, and experts predict that oil could go as low as $40 or even $30 a barrel. Obviously, that's great for us consumers when we go to the pump, but eventually those low prices are going to hurt the economy around the world. Paul Watson has a great article up at InfoWars.com basically spelling out the terrifying consequences if oil drops to $40 or below. Noted investor Jeffrey Gundlach warns that a fall to $40 a barrel could spark terrifying geopolitical consequences. Zero Hedge points out that large and rapid rises and falls in the price of crude oil have correlated strongly with major geopolitical and economic crises around the globe. The difference this time is that thanks to central bank largesse, money flows faster than ever and everything is more tightly coupled with that flow. And the last time we saw any activity like this with regards to falling oil prices, it was a precursor to the global financial collapse of 2008. Now, as we've previously documented, the sudden drop in the price of oil was mostly an engineered attack on the Russian economy led by Saudi Arabia and the Obama White House. But additionally, there's this unprecedented boom of shale gas fracking, both domestically and abroad. So revolutionary conditions have now been created. And don't forget, we, the taxpayers, are on the hook for any of this risky derivatives caused by the bankers. This will directly affect the taxpayer as well, because don't forget, we are on the hook to bail out the banks for any failed derivatives. That's thanks to that $1.1 trillion spending bill that was rushed through Congress right before their Christmas recess. And of course, the derivatives are tied to energy stocks. So we are on the hook for this. We see where this is going. Now, lawmakers are set to vote Tuesday for a new Speaker of the House. And this $1.1 trillion spending bill is kind of the crux for a lot of people. They're saying it's now time to oust Boehner. A mini mutiny seems to be underway. At least two conservative representatives have now announced that they are going to be opposing Boehner's bid for re-election. Representative Jim Bridenstine is upset because he sees John Boehner joining forces with Barack Obama to pass this $1.1 trillion spending bill. He said it's effectively handed over the power of the purse to the president for 2015. This blocked the newest incoming elected Republicans from being able to advance any conservative policies and make good on their campaign promises, because they can't do anything until the end of this fiscal year. Now, Representative Thomas Massey of Kentucky also said that he's not going to support Boehner because of his broken vow to give lawmakers at least 72 hours to go over any enormous bills. And he really pushed for this Cromnibus bill. Massey said that Boehner scheduled a fiscal crisis in a lame duck session on the last legislative day before Christmas to get maximum leverage over rank and file members. And then, of course, he went on to mislead members into thinking that this vote was an unpopular bill, saying it wouldn't pass. But we knew that it would. And he then went on to rush a voice vote on unfunded $10 billion worth of spending measures when there were fewer than a dozen members present. But come on, we already knew that Boehner joined forces with the dark side long ago.
Well, I had heard that there was one particular member that was passing out checks on the House floor.
Wine asked me to give out a half a dozen checks quickly before we got to the end of the month, and I complied. And I did it on the House floor, which I regret, should not have done. It's not a violation of the House rules. But it's a practice that's gone on here for a long time. We gotta stop this. This is just not something that'll happen.
So that was in 1995. Obviously, he was very friendly then with the coming corporatocracy, but go back to that video. He also looks like he was very friendly with the wolves of Wall Street, if you know what I mean. But we'll see if he is actually going to get replaced or if he will be Speaker of the House for a third term. But Boehner's not the only one who's getting paid off and passing out checks. So is Al Sharpton. The New York Post is reporting that for more than a decade, corporations have paid off Al Sharpton so that he would not label them as racists. Corporations have shelled out thousands of dollars in donations and consulting fees to Sharpton's National Action Network. What they get in return is the Reverend's supposed sway in the black community, or more often, his silence. Now, we reported how Sony Pictures co-chair Amy Pascal met with the activist preacher after some leaked emails showed her making racially charged comments about the president. National Legal and Policy Center, which is a Virginia-based watchdog group that has written a book about Al Sharpton, says that he has enriched himself and the National Action Network for years by threatening companies with bad publicity. And if they don't come to terms with him, put simply, Sharpton specializes in shakedowns. Pay him in cash or power, and you buy his support or silence. So there it is. It's all about the shakedown. It's not really about helping the black community or representing the black community. He's actually exploiting them, using them to create all of this escalating racial tension. And then if you pay him enough, then he will look the other way. Basically, he just went from one mob to the next. So we know that whenever Al Sharpton and National Action Network throws their support behind anything, it's going to be all about race, which is exactly what happened with the Ferguson protests. The entire situation has now become about race and not as a potentially important opportunity to shine a spotlight on police violence. Now the Black Lives Matter protesters are targeting white people eating brunch as a way to demonstrate against this police brutality. Demonstrators are crashing cafes and restaurants with captions such as, "Attention, white man, I have no guilt disturbing your brunch. It's you that has no right to be here." So obviously this has become super racially charged. I actually got into a Twitter argument with people who were saying that minorities can't be racist, but that is false. This is a racist act. Obviously all kinds of people are out there eating brunch with their families, but they're specifically targeting white people. Some even accuse the white diners of being complicit in genocide. And then the protests were quickly mocked on Twitter. Some tweeters were wondering how far the civil rights movement has fallen from powerful statements to interrupting brunch. So I guess this is how we are going to get the message across and gain the support, the minds of the American people. But it wasn't just brunch. I Can't Breathe protesters also interrupted a ceremony that was honoring a 100-year-old World War II veteran. There were more than 100 protesters. They were shouting, "I can't breathe, hands up, don't shoot," prior to U.S. Navy vet Dario Roscio receiving medals by Senator Ron Wyden. The vet himself pleaded for them to show a little respect for the occasion. He said, "Give me a chance." This is a 100-year-old World War II veteran saying, "Just give me a chance." But before Roscio could even sit down, a protester at the front of the room announced that for 4.5 minutes, we are going to take time to pay respect to everybody who has been killed by police in this nation. So from chanting for the deaths of police officers to harassing parents and their children at the shopping mall, blocking freeways, demonstrators are really succeeding at ostracizing a very large percentage of the population who would have and were supporting their cause, but now they're basically just bolstering support for police across the nation and discrediting any opposition to the genuine problem. And Sheriff Clark agrees. He actually says, "If black lives matter, why aren't you protesting outside of abortion clinics?"
You know, when I hear these things that Black Lives Matter, the only people that really believe that statement are American police officers who go into American ghettos every day to keep people from killing each other. All right, so yes, I did send that, and I meant it. The abortion, Black Lives, if they really mattered, that's where the outrage would be. That's what we see protests about. But when we see the black-on-black homicide that happens on a very frequent basis, we don't see protests, we don't see marches, we don't see demands for change.
Now, coming up, the government takes custody of a teenage girl and forces her to go through chemotherapy. That's coming right up.
Sold out for weeks due to the difficult and extensive proprietary process behind its creation, the exclusive InfoWars Life Secret 12 formulation is now back in stock in the last limited shipment of 2014. The most bioactive form that has been created with our proprietary process, this ultra-clean vitamin B12 nutraceutical has been carefully crafted and developed over the last 2 years and is based on cellular science of how your body actively absorbs essential nutrients. Secret 12 is taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Vitamin B12 deficiency is linked to scores of serious problems. And Secret 12 is a fusion of two organic proprietary forms of vitamin B12, bringing you a true nutraceutical quality vitamin B12. Secret 12. Secret 12 is an excellent Christmas gift and is tailor-made to boost your New Year's resolutions. Supplies of Secret 12 are very limited. Secure yours today at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
For all of recorded history, civilizations around the world praised the health benefits of silver. At InfoWars Life, our mission is to bring you the highest quality, purest, cleanest, effective colloidal silver on the market today for the lowest price available. You don't have to be a doctor to know the fall and winter months are the most dangerous time of year in North America when it comes to you and your family's health. InfoWarsLife.com is very excited to announce our biggest run yet of Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Now, InfoWarsLife.com has taken colloidal silver to the next level using a cutting-edge technique that is free of toxic artificial additives. Now more than ever, it's important to stock up on high-quality Silver Bullet from InfoWarsLife.com and to help others during Christmas by teaching them about the powerful benefits of silver. Secure your Silver Bullet today at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
A 17-year-old girl in Hartford, Connecticut, was taken from her parents by government agents and forced to undergo chemotherapy treatment. Parents said she was literally strapped to a table and forced to undergo this treatment against her will, all because the parents opted for a natural remedy to treat her cancer.
I think now they're less worried about the damage they can cause with mercury and squalene, both toxic chemicals. Squalene has never been approved for use. I mean, and they're more worried that they could lose the whole program. What does it mean, the whole program? The polio, the DPT, the measles, mumps, and rubella. Because once people start doubting, all of a sudden the truth starts coming out.
Well, sir, I know 3 years ago you looked at the trials. I covered it. I had other medical doctors on. I had families, women whose children had died on the show just in the trials with the HPV shot.
So what caused the 12-year-old's life to be cut so tragically short? A few hours before she died, Meredith was complaining of a sore throat. Her mom took her to the doctor. While there, the 12-year-old also got the first round of the HPV vaccine.
When I came home, she had just thrown up and was non-responsive on my living room floor. I performed CPR, and she was taken to Waukesha Memorial, where she died.
And now the FDA comes out last week and says, yeah, we may put a warning out on this. From your medical research, why is that shot killing people?
Well, you know, I think all of them are, but this one is more remarkable because you're dealing with young teenage girls, and so it becomes more dramatic. If a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old dies, they can attribute it to something else, you know, asthma, bronchitis, you know, but when a healthy, good-looking teenager who's a cheerleader, who's 13, 14, or 15 years old, and those are the ones who have been dying because they're the ones who are getting the vaccines right now, and, you know, Stalin said it the best. The death of one person is a tragedy. The death of 10,000 is a statistic.
Without a doubt in my mind, I believe vaccinations triggered Evan's autism.
Medical study after medical study has said this is junk science, including a recent one of nearly 1,000 children in the Journal of Pediatrics, and a lot of moms watch The View. I don't know whether she'll be talking about it on the air, but it does have an effect. These scare stories about vaccines have had an impact on some parents deciding to delay or not to vaccinate their children at all.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm kids, according to two new studies in the Journal of Pediatrics.
You know, in the United States, the only vaccine that's still in is for pregnant women. I can say confidently, I do think thimerosal causes ticks. So I don't know why they still give it to pregnant women. Like, that's the last person I would give mercury to. Thimerosal from vaccines cause ticks. You start a campaign and you just make that your mantra. Do you think a pregnant mother would want to take a vaccine that they knew caused ticks? Absolutely not. I would never give my wife a vaccine that I thought caused ticks. I can say ticks are four times more prevalent in kids with autism.
Right.
There is biologic plausibility right now to say that thimerosal causes autism-like features.
The vaccines are given at pediatric wellness visits, and the idea is that you are training a parent to bring their child in at all the pediatric wellness visits.
We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
There is a very interesting phenomenon, rather like the antibiotic resistant bacteria. We're seeing this now emerge in vaccine technology, that we're getting bacteria, pertussis, for example, that is resistant to the current vaccine in use. Now, what that means is that we see these escape mutants, these mutants that are then resistant to the current vaccine, so they will introduce a new vaccine that deals at least temporarily with that escape mutant.
It causes another super mutant.
Well, this is the problem is that it's you're on a treadmill for the rest of time, because not only will children have to have the existing pertussis vaccine, but they will also have to have the new one.
And so it's Pandora's box.
Yes, I think people didn't think through this, and they didn't think through it with antibiotics, and they didn't think through it with vaccines. But we're starting to see the emergence of these super strains now, and we need to be very, very careful.
All of a sudden, it's not working. They no longer can just say it, and that's true. Well, Chicago politics at its best. Just say it enough, say the lie enough times, and people will believe it. I mean, I think that it's just so out of control. And I wanted to know that autism, of all the things in my 30-plus years in medicine, I've never seen anything as devastating to a family. Cancer, nothing compared to it. Heart disease, nothing. Those children are alive. They just have a shortened life. Autism, the parents have no life. No life. And these are the most brave parents in the world who take care of these children.
Now coming up, a new city ordinance could give the police even more power to pull you over, but it could also thwart your ability to film the police.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. So why are the social engineers adding it to the water? Simple. Dumb down the host population that the parasitic technocracy is feeding on. We may not have been able to get fluoride out of the water supply yet, but we can help to get it out of our bodies. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Let's take a stand against the globalists by blocking their poisons with Fluoride Shield. I use Fluoride Shield every day. Secure your Fluoride Shield and other pioneering formulations at InfoWarsLife.com today. Let's start cleansing our bodies now and support the InfoWar at the same time. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Sold out for weeks due to the difficult and extensive proprietary process behind its creation, the exclusive InfoWars Life Secret 12 formulation is now back in stock. in the last limited shipment of 2014, the most bioactive form that has been created with our proprietary process. This ultra-clean vitamin B12 nutraceutical has been carefully crafted and developed over the last 2 years and is based on cellular science of how your body actively absorbs essential nutrients. Secret 12 is taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Vitamin B12 deficiency is linked to scores of serious problems. And Secret 12 is a fusion of two organic proprietary forms of vitamin B12, bringing you a true nutraceutical quality vitamin B12. Secret 12. Secret 12 is an excellent Christmas gift and is tailor-made to boost your New Year's resolutions. Supplies of Secret 12 are very limited. Secure yours today at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Well, a new city ordinance that went into effect January 1st, 2015 will make it impossible for Austin drivers to do anything lest they be deemed distracted drivers. So joining me in studio is one of the top DWI attorneys in the country, Jamie Balasia. Now, you're here to talk with me about this city ordinance as well as some other things. Is this really going to be something that's effective to help stop distracted driving, or is it another kind of underhanded way of getting in your vehicle and generating revenue?
Well, the revenuers are always after a new angle, and this certainly is being couched as a safety precaution. It's a way to keep us from hurting ourselves or from having our children hurt themselves, our teenage drivers. But when you think about a proposition that Alex Jones has pushed for many years that I'm completely in agreement with, if someone is being reckless in the operation of a motor vehicle, cite them for reckless driving. And if it's such a danger that people are, you know, being injured or cars being run off the road, then put them in jail. It's a Class B misdemeanor. In Texas, it's used all the time, especially in Austin. But if someone's being reckless, then stop their reckless behavior. Why can't I talk on the telephone? I used to be a police officer. I talked on a microphone while looking at my map for directions, while driving down the highway with my knees, and did many other things.
That.
Today, they're doing the same thing while they're on the computer and the telephone at the same time.
Scanning your license plate. I see that all the time. Or eating. But that's the blue privilege thing. Now, just to bring the viewers up to speed, this ordinance, it's the Hands-Free Austin Initiative, and the ordinance prohibits the use of all electronic handheld devices while operating a vehicle or bicycle. This will bring you fines of up to $500. And yes, I have seen people texting while biking. Portable electronic device means mobile telephone, a personal digital assistant, any handheld music player, a reading device, laptop computer, GPS or navigation system, any gaming devices, or portable computing device. So you can't even talk to the people sitting next to you in the vehicle. Apparently we should all just be wearing helmets all the time, and maybe this is a push to get us into those smart cars.
The automated cars. That would solve all this. It's funny when you talk about the blue privilege or the police officer being allowed to violate this ordinance. And it's city ordinance, both in Austin and San Antonio, both started midnight January the 1st. Why are they better trained or more genetically adapted to talk on the telephone and drive, and I'm not or you're not? Well, I am. I've been trained in their pursuit driving, and I've gone through all the police training. But they didn't train me how to talk on a telephone and drive. So it's another way for the government to address what is being perceived as a problem. And if it's a real problem, there are other ways to address it. You touched on something earlier. It's a way for them to pull me over, make me roll down my window, smell me, look inside my car, check me for anything else and everything else that they want to.
Right.
And it's going to raise a ton of revenue.
Absolutely. And because we've already had, and I know a lot of other states already have these type of bans in place where you can't use your phone for anything but talking. And how do they go about enforcing this? Well, really, they can't unless they catch you in the act or you're swerving or something. But how will they enforce this?
Well, if they see you with a phone to your head, or I would think at nighttime, if they see the glow of a telephone, they're going to pull you over. Now, I'm going to be advising people to have their phones where they can lock them quickly and always have a password on your cell phone, because not only do you want to prevent anyone from looking at your private and personal information, your pictures, your personal thoughts that you've memorized on the onto your phone or your device. But also, in case you lose it or it's stolen, it's also, you know, smart to be secure in your property. But now, what's going to stop a police officer from pulling you over? He says he saw you on the telephone. Well, is that going to be on the videotape that he can show that you were actually on the telephone? And then he's going to start getting into your telephone. And the first thing they're going to want to look at is your pictures. And how far will this go? Will they start looking at Facebook entries or YouTube entries to see if, you know, after January 1st, were you driving and on a telephone and you recorded yourself some way doing that?
Absolutely.
It can get a little Orwellian in where they can take it.
Right. And now I know you've spoken with us in the past about how they did this with DUIs to help increase the revenue there with DUIs. Obviously, Austin, we have some of the highest numbers of these. But they basically lowered the levels for the DUIs and basically destroy people's lives who aren't able to, you know, pay off an attorney or something. But here we have the same thing happening with distracted driving. Now they're raising what constitutes distracted driving. So now anything can really.
Well, they've given exclusions. They say that if your navigational system is attached or affixed, then that is an exception or an exemption. But I ask, okay, why is it less distracting for me to look at an affixed screen than it is for me to look at a screen that's affixed to my hand? I actually can move it around better and look, glance up, and actually it would be safer, I would think. And then the other question begs, when are they going to stop? You know, will they then have to eliminate that exemption because we're still having accidents or reckless driving scenarios?
Right. Well, it'll just going to be banning people from driving altogether. Now, we had the NYPD. They have been doing a bit of a form of a protest where they're only ticketing people when absolutely necessary, or only making arrests when it's absolutely necessary. Initially, first, it was a call by the union for safety, you know, having two units out. But now it has come about that it is also a form of protest, basically saying, well, if you're not going to support us, then we're not going to support you financially by giving out these arbitrary tickets. You know, that's taken it down 66%. But what it's really shown is how much they are ticketing when it's not absolutely necessary. How many of these arbitrary offenses are out there that, you know, the police are unfortunately put in a position to have to, you know, ticket people for those things because the politicians are saying, we're going to ban your hoodies.
Oh. Well, to me, that's prima facie evidence that 66% of the arrests and citations in New York are unnecessary, probably the same level here in Austin and in throughout Texas. Officers used to have a lot of discretion. They used to get on us about the number of contacts we should be having with motorists. So, but they couldn't tell you had a quota on tickets. But they would say, well, Johnny here writes 10 a day, every day. You write one a day. Obviously, he's working harder. Well, we would argue, no, we're trying to stop violent crime, and we're doing some proactive enforcement on that. But if you want your contacts, okay, I'll get them. I'd come in with 10 warning tickets, and my sergeant would turn red, just beat red, because I was getting my contacts, but I was not bringing in revenue for the city.
Wow.
When the city starts using its police department, or here in Austin especially, their ordinance officers, to bring in revenue instead of, is there a real problem? Then let's deal with the problem. When it becomes attached to revenue, that's when, you know, the absolute power issue starts coming into play.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got your mall cop, your Paul Blarts out here, really abusing their power and taking advantage of, what about the poor people? How are they going to pay a $500 ticket because they're trying to find their kid who's called them? Let's say they're out with friends. They don't want to get into a car because the driver's been drinking. So they call their parent. Parent's trying to locate them because they don't know the neighborhood. So they're glancing at their screen. Police officer's going to pull you over and give you a $500 ticket. I mean.
Right. And now we reported last week that they got debtors' prisons coming back.
Well, that's exactly what if you look at the number of probation violations we have in Travis County that are based on someone who either didn't pay their fines, didn't pay their probation fees, couldn't afford a class, so they didn't take the class, so they got a motion to revoke against them. And what's really interesting is, in regard to the hands-free ruling, I have Bluetooth in my Mercedes, so I won't be in violation. I'll just, you know, handle it over the system. But in my beat-up Excursion, I don't have it. So someone who can't afford a new computerized vehicle is going to be treated as a second-class citizen.
Right, or it'll force you into having some sort of an OnStar device in your car so that all your conversations are being recorded and, you know, going to some remote data collection center. Do you think that this ticketing and everything is what's really begun to cause such a distaste and this sort of anti-cop rhetoric out there? Because obviously there is a place for law enforcement in our country, but I feel like that they're not allowed to go out and look for violent criminals because they're too busy ticketing people who are wearing hoods.
No, that just is unbelievable that we are now going to make clothing illegal. That's very disturbing to me as a supporter of the Constitution, as a former police officer.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of supporting the Constitution, what do you think about the Cop Block group? Now, I follow them on Twitter. I know there's activists here in Dallas, and they put out a lot of these stories. You know, we get a lot of leads from the Cop Block, but they're being perceived as sort of a terrorist group for wanting to have some accountability out there. What do you think about that?
When I was a taxpayer-paid public servant, what objection could I possibly have to being videotaped while on duty? Now, if I need to use the restroom, of course. While I'm eating my lunch, if I'm having a private conversation about personal issues with another officer, well, why am I doing that on your taxpayer dollars? I can do that before work or after work or during my lunch hour. So anytime a police officer does not want to be videotaped, the first suspicion should be he's doing something wrong.
Right. That's what they say to us. If we don't, you know, why do we mind, you know, being monitored constantly with surveillance if we're not doing anything wrong?
You know, coming here today, I was trying to read one of the highway signs, the digital highway signs. It was giving some type of alert about looking out for some elderly person. It described the car, and it also gave a license plate. I was distracted from my driving while I was reading that sign. The only way, I mean, and I couldn't get the license plate number. I guess I could have slowed down and endangered the other citizens on the roadway by doing that.
Exactly.
So the government encourages behavior, and yet it discourages the same behavior with tickets if you engage in it on your own.
So if this is going to be another way for them to get into your vehicle or, you know, generate some more revenue, what can people do to protect themselves?
Well, and my response to that begs the question, if they want me to not utilize my phone or my personal device, what do I do with it while I'm driving? Am I supposed to put it in the glove box, in the console, away from my body, in my pocket, whatever? If I do that, then I don't have it readily available to record the police officer when he pulls me over. Every citizen, if they have a device that is capable of doing so, should record either audio, video, I prefer both, the whole stop. If the police officer objects to you having the camera pointed at him, you can still set it down so the audio is capable of recording. But actually, if I walk up as a police officer to you on a traffic stop and you have your phone on video and your light should come on at night or in the daytime I can see you, I know it's not a handgun. Handguns don't have flashlights shining off of them, and, you know, they're shaped differently from cell phones. But that could cause some dangerous situations as well. If the police all of a sudden start saying, well, I thought it was a weapon.
Right. Or if they're saying, well, you had your phone, you were using your phone. Meanwhile, you actually just got it out to start recording the whole interaction. So that might be a whole new thing for you.
Yes. And if you tell them, no, I just turned it on because I want to record what's going on here, they may say, well, then let me look at it to make sure I can check your phone call log to see if you were on the phone or not while you've been driving. Or they'll start asking you questions, perhaps, when they come up. Where have you been? Where are you going to? Well, I've been, you know, in Austin, North Austin. I'm headed to South Austin. You just stop anywhere? No, I've been on I-35. I want to see your phone to see if you've been using it during that 20-minute time span. Where's it going to go? I always say that once you open the door to police power and close the door on the Constitution, they never give that power back to us.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll just keep taking it a little bit further. And that's the thing that's so scary. I mean, it can be very intimidating to try and, you know, assert your constitutional rights. Obviously, when you start recording, they're going to instantly be aggravated with you, agitated with you. I mean, I was threatened to be tased by a police officer if I didn't just, you know, shut up and do what he said. And I was like crying. I'm like, oh, you're violating my Fourth Amendment right now. And that just made him so angry. And they were like, I'm going to tase you.
Well,
so
in
that's,
your mind,
it's frightening.
Which is more frightening? You wearing a hoodie or me in a police uniform with my gun pointed at you as I approach you on a traffic stop because you're on your telephone?
Exactly.
I don't think there's much question about that. Although many people in this community, in Austin and throughout Texas and the nation, will side against the citizen and support the police officer as their default position every time. And that's what's disturbing about this, the cop block being labeled a terrorist. No, they're calling for accountability. They're protecting the Constitution. They are constitutional defenders.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us in studio today. And we'll definitely direct people to your website as well. Congratulations on becoming a lawyer scientist. One of
thank you.
30, I guess, in the whole country. We'll definitely have you back in. And I'm going to plug your book so that people will know exactly what they need to do. It's a primer for the procedures to take when being confronted with police.
Thank you.
So thank you. So you can get that book at the InfoWars store. It is the Texas DWI Survival Guide, a Citizens Protection Manual, Constitutional Primer. It's imperative to know your legal rights and to be prepared before you see the red and blue lights flashing behind you. What you do and say after that moment will have lifelong repercussions. Obviously, your purchase of that book is going to help not only the DWI dude, but it'll also help us here at InfoWars.com. Thank you so much for tuning into the show tonight, and we'll see you here tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central.
The Molon Lave silver coin, certified by the Provident Mint. This 1 ounce silver round is 0.999% fine silver, inspired by the legendary Spartan King Leonidas and his refusal to lay down arms in defiance of Emperor Xerxes. Molon Lave, that's Greek for come and take it. This is available now at InfoWarsStore.com. Act now as supplies are limited. And don't forget, free shipping and a free gift. That's InfoWarsStore.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.